Market participants place big bets that the Greece debt crisis is about to be resolved, but are those positions premature? From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio. European markets are surging this morning amid the sense that Greece will agree to a new package of reforms to unlock more money from its creditors. This would keep Greece from falling off the euro currency. The DAX index on the German stock market is up 3.25%. The key index on the Athens exchange is up more than 8%. At this moment, attention is focused less on Athens, Frankfurt, and Brussels, and more focused on the German capital, Berlin, where we find BBC correspondent Damian McGuinness.
What's changed over the last few days is that increasingly here in Germany, there's more acceptance that possibly a Grexit, a Greek exit, could be the least bad option. And what we're hearing now is increasing voices saying that the euro could be damaged more by bending the rules to keep Greece in the eurozone at any cost than Greece leaving. So this is possibly why now the government in Athens has become a lot more amenable to a compromise, because they're realizing that Berlin is not, in fact, willing to keep Greece in at any cost, because what Berlin wants is to make sure that countries like Greece stick to the rules.
Do you think, Damian, that the wider German population is getting both sides of the argument? I mean, former U.S. Treasury Secretary Lawrence Summers was writing, I think, in the Financial Times late last week, talking about what would happen if Greece falls out of the euro. He was talking about a failed state. He was talking about massive emigration out of Greece to the rest of Europe. He thought it would be more expensive for the rest of Europe if Greece were to fall out of the eurozone.
German taxpayers are... they really are getting both sides of the argument, because this really has been the lead story for months. It's front page story every single day in German newspapers. The more mainstream traditional broadsheet papers are certainly giving a very balanced perspective, because Germany's also very aware that the euro is good for German exports. People are aware of this, and they are also aware that you can't have a failed state within the EU. So what we're seeing is Germany's leading the charge in sort of saying, you know, the euro needs to be a credible currency. It needs to have competitive economies within the eurozone. But Germany is not the most hawkish member of the eurozone with this line, really. If you look towards Eastern European states, they're even more hawkish than Germany. And none of them want to see the eurozone lose credibility as a currency.
The BBC's Damian McGuinness in Berlin, thank you for this.
Thank you, David.
Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are up in the 0.8% range about 2.5 hours before the opening bell here. The 10-year Treasury yield is down sharply at under 2.32%. Another story we're following today, what would have been the biggest ever merger in the U.S. health insurance industry has been rejected, at least for now. Cigna management is very uninterested in a cash and stock offer from rival Anthem. The latter company believes that together the merged companies could better compete with United Healthcare. Cigna shareholders will ultimately decide. This week, we're looking at some holistic ways that doctors, hospitals, and insurers are hoping to improve the health of their sickest and most expensive patients. Many of these patients bounce in and out of hospitals and emergency rooms. Doctors are coming to fully appreciate how knowing their medical histories is not enough. They have to understand the patient's complicated social lives as well. The hope is by dealing with, for instance, underlying homelessness, mental illness, and poverty, the medical system could improve health and lower costs. From the Marketplace Health Desk at WHYY, Dan Gorenstein starts today with a look at how healthcare providers at One Dallas program are trying to capture this whole patient picture.
I'm visiting two patients at Parkland Hospital.
Hola,
hola,
hola.
Mucho gusto.
Mucho gusto. Hablan español.
Hi, is this a good time?
Yes.
Okay, great.
That's Tommy Foster and Juan. We're not using Juan's last name because he's undocumented. Both are in their 50s. Both have struggled to manage their diabetes. They're here with bone infections and need long-term antibiotics.
For both these people, their medical stuff needs to be treated largely the same.
Dr. Anand Shah says that is where the similarities stop.
Mr. Foster, he really needed to take care of his diabetes through what he eats. Whereas Mr. Juan, his issues were really around health illiteracy. He thought that the medication was harming him.
For most hospitals, these social issues are a blind spot, increasing the odds that chronically ill folks keep coming back, costing $6,000 to $10,000 per visit. Shah, who works for PCCI, a nonprofit affiliated with Parkland, says collecting medical and social histories gives him that fuller patient picture.
People talk about personalized medicine. Before analyzing their genome, you can personalize care based on just their social needs and clinical needs. We haven't done that yet.
Shah's work has helped Parkland avoid more than $9 million in penalties it would have faced for hospital readmissions. He says he's got a line of executives out the door interested both in the concept and the predictive analytics software behind it. Let's be clear, getting the right patient into the right program is still in the beta phase. And remember, sometimes the right program doesn't exist. Take Tommy Foster. He knows what he wants: low-cost, diet-specific meals.
Trying to cook, you're trying to change your eating habits, it can be overwhelming. Being practical, when you're driving down the street, and my weakness is hamburgers and pizzas, and you know, it's easy, it's fast, it's convenient, it tastes good. But if you had an option where you could go and make that purchase too, that would help.
That doesn't seem to be on the table. A nurse did suggest meals on wheels and talking with a dietitian. Is that enough? No one knows. But taking time to ask Foster what he thinks is a new approach. I'm Dan Gorenstein for Marketplace.
And in Japan, listen to what just went on sale this weekend for the equivalent of about $1,000 plus monthly service fees. It sold out in 1 minute flat, a new robot that supposedly can detect human emotions, joy, sadness, fuming mad. 4-foot-high Pepper is humanoid in form with waving arms, fixed vaguely affable smile, and big eyes like a manga cartoon. The company SoftBank is selling the first 1,000. As a loss leader, its CEO says his vision is to, quote, offer a robot with love. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.